three-part series called Future Forecast, where we're talking about creating the type of future for ourselves that God wants us to walk in. And we know and we believe that God has plans for us, that He's given us a hope and a future, and He calls us and He leads us and He draws us to walk in it. But, you know, if you've ever done anything, maybe created a business, or maybe you had some health goals and you reached those health goals, or maybe you did something, maybe you built a house or something like that, how many of y'all know that those things don't happen by themselves? Yeah, that wishing is not the same thing as creating a future for yourself. That wishing and longing, people say that hope is a great thing, but hope is a terrible plan. And if your plan for your life and your plan for creating your future is simply just hoping for one, that's a terrible plan. Hope is a horrible strategy. It's a great thing, and it's a wonderful thing to hold on to, and hope is important, but it's not a good strategy for our lives. And so we're talking about the walking in that future that God wants us to have. So last week we talked about how our thoughts shaped our future. Y'all remember that? Yeah, how our thoughts shape our future, that our thoughts influence the condition of our hearts, right? And our hearts shape who we are, that we can shipwreck our future, that our thoughts can shipwreck our future, or our thoughts can fill us with hope, that a Philippians 4:8 mindset, right, one that thinks about what's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and worthy of praise, that those things, that leads to us becoming people of joy, of encouragement, of grace, and of love. And so today, I want to talk about forecasting our future with our words. And our words are super, super important. In fact, believe it or not, our words, the words that we speak to ourselves, okay, and about ourselves can shape our future. And so a lot of people, honestly, they shipwreck their own future with their words. The words that they speak about themselves, the words they speak to themselves, the words that they speak to others. And I remember a few years ago, I had this dream. I wanted to write a novel. Yes, it was very important to me. I wanted to write this novel. And I had spent about 3 years writing this thing and had barely gotten halfway through it. I'd kind of get started, and I'd write, you know, a few hundred words in one day, and then there'd be several days where I didn't write, and I wanted to write this novel. It was so important to me. I wanted more than anything to write a novel, and in 3 years' time, I'd barely gotten halfway through it, and I would say things like, "I'm not very good at this," and you know, that may have even been true, right? I mean, I'm just not very good at this. The first time I've ever done this, and if you've never done it before, you're still on a learning curve. And I would say, I'm never going to get this thing finished. I'm never going to get this book finished. And you know, you ever done that before? Maybe a remodeling project, the kitchen. Anybody ever remodel a kitchen? Does that take like 8 years or 9 years? I'm not sure, something like that, you know? I'm never going to get this thing done, right? I'm never going to accomplish this goal. I'm never going to do this. And we say things like that. And it may sound trite, but words like that have impact on us. Right? I'm never going to get this finished. And then finally one day, I thought, I grabbed a notebook, and I took a pen, and I wrote a bunch of things down that may sound cheesy. It may sound like totally, oh, Lee, you sound like some sort of motivational speaker, right? If you don't do this, you're going to be living in a van down by the river, right? It just sounds, okay, you may sound like a motivator, but I took a pen, and I literally wrote things down like this. I am an author. I wrote that down in a notebook. And I wrote down, I will write 250 words a day until I get the first draft completed. And I wrote down, my book will be an inspiration to its readers. I wrote things like, I literally wrote them down in a notebook, and then every day, out loud, I would read those words back to myself. Just, I picked up my notebook and I read them out loud. All of that flash of inspiration that I wrote down in a notebook on days when I was tired, on days that I didn't feel good, on days that I didn't feel like writing, on days when I just thought this thing is never going to get done, I literally opened up that notebook and I read out loud to myself, I am an author. I will write 250 words a day until my first draft is completed. My book will be an inspiration to its readers. And I read that and I completed the second half of the book in 6 months. So the first half took me 3 years, and I wasn't speaking a whole lot of life into it. The second half of the book took 6 months, much shorter time, because every day I decide I'm going to speak life into this project, And now it's an international bestseller. I've made millions of dollars. You guys, I can't even tell. You have no idea. I'm just kidding. But I got it done, right? I got it done. And it's not a bestseller. Maybe someday it will be. But I got it done. And I spoke encouragement. I spoke vision. I spoke hope to myself, right? Sometimes you got to do that. And I accomplished one of my life goals. And in the process of speaking words to myself that were encouraging, that were full of life, I was able to accomplish one of my life goals. I was able to forecast my future and have it done. Because we forecast our future with our words, okay? We do. We forecast our future with our words, okay? And maybe you've experienced something like that. Maybe you forecasted your health goals, your health future. Has anybody here ever put up a picture of like a muscle man or a muscle woman or something, and you went, "That's the I'm gonna look like that"? Or maybe you put, I remember there was a guy I used to work with, and we shared a cubicle together, and his wallpaper on his computer was a car that he really wanted, and every day he looked at that car and he said, "I'm gonna own a car. I'm gonna own that car one day." And lo and behold, he did. Right? Has anybody ever done something like that? Really? You all need to do something like that. What in the world? Okay? Start speaking some life, people. Okay. So, maybe you put up a picture of a vacation spot or something like that. You spoke, I'm gonna take a vacation there someday. Or this is what I'm gonna look like someday. Or maybe you've forecasted something negative, right? Maybe you forecasted something like, I will never find a decent job. Right? I will never find a decent job. I'm never gonna get a godly husband. Right? I'm never gonna get married someday. I just don't have what it takes. You know, and we speak those things into our life as if our past mistakes define us. Right? As if the things that we've done in the past define us, and we say things like, "That's just how I am." Oh my goodness. You know, people say, you don't understand, I'm just an angry German. I don't know why it's always the Germans that are so angry. Just because the language sounds angry doesn't mean that Germans have to be angry. I don't know. But you know what? Like, we say things like, "That's just how I am. That's just how I was brought up." You know, or "That's just where I grew up. Those are just the people that I ran with, and now I'm that way." And we speak things like that into our lives. And when we say those things, you know, all we're doing is creating a future for ourselves that is perpetuating what we're saying. Okay? Our words are so, so important. And Proverbs 18:21 says, "The tongue can bring life or death." In other words, your words that you speak about yourself, the words that you speak into your life, can either bring life or can either bring death. How many here would rather speak life into their future? Yeah, okay? So we want to start doing that. We want to start speaking life into our futures. And so, the things that we say will shape our future. Words have consequences for good or for bad. And the words that we speak have consequences. You know, it's funny because have you ever been like scrolling through Facebook and somebody goes fishing for encouragement? They say something like, nobody cares about me. I don't think anybody cares about me. You know, what's the irony about that is that... The irony. Is that my... Everything's muted? Hold on, guys. Hold on. That's coming from my guitar amp. Always me. Okay. But you know, but you have somebody in your life. Have you ever had somebody in your life that does that? That does that whole, "Nobody cares about me. Nobody cares about me." How many of you have ever known somebody like that, and after the constant "nobody cares about me," you stopped caring about them? Right? Because it gets exhausting. It gets so tiring trying to prop them up because they're constantly speaking themselves down. And as long as they're kind of speaking death and speaking, you know, misery and speaking "nobody cares about you," you know, it becomes like a self-fulfilling prophecy. You know, I like to say, "Everybody loves me. Everybody loves me." And you know what? Everybody loves me. Right, honey? I used to say when I was in high school, "I'm going to have a hottie for a wife. Oh, man, I'm going to have the hottest wife. Hottie! Hey, look!" Right? So you know, our words have such incredible consequences. Our words carry so much weight. And so how can we move from using words that lead to frustration and unfulfilled dreams and a low value of ourselves to using words that lead to freedom, that lead to fulfillment, and lead to hope? So we're going to talk about that. Super important. Then we're even going to have a chance, a couple minutes, just to break out and talk about it a little bit. So let's pray. God, we love you so much. We pray that you would cause your word to come alive in us. Father, that you would help us to use our words to build hope and just an amazing future, God, the future that you want us to have. Lord, help us, God, to control our tongues. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to start off by taking a look at James chapter 3, verses 2 through 5. It says this, and we've read this one before. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect. Everybody say perfect. If we could control our tongues, we would be perfect, right? I mean, it's basically the Bible is saying that the tongue, if you can get that down, you can get anything down. If you can control the tongue, you can control any other part of your life. It says if we can control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want by means of a small bit in its mouth, and a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. Okay? Listen, if you remember one thing this morning, I want you to remember this. As a rudder steers a ship, so your words steer your life. As a rudder steers a ship, so your words steer your life. Your words steer your life. Remember, last week we talked about it starts with our thoughts. Okay? Listen, I have never, ever met a person who is fulfilled and joyful and filled with hope who complains all the time. Have you? Have you ever met somebody who's just always negative, always speaking negative, and they're just full of joy? What? It doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen, okay? And I have never met a person who consistently speaks life to themselves and others who is perpetually unfulfilled and miserable and pessimistic. It doesn't happen. Because the words steer the course of your life. Your words steer the course of your life. Negative words and a positive life do not exist together. All right? Tweet that, Dan. Negative words and a positive life do not exist together. Okay? So we have to understand that your words shape your future. So speak life. Speak life. How do we do that? How do we incorporate the power of our words to intentionally shape our futures? Okay? First thing is this. Speak life to yourself. Just like I talked about when I was writing the book. Every morning, because here's the thing, here's why I wrote it down. Here's why I wrote it down and read it back to myself out loud. It's because I knew that if I was in a funk, I just wouldn't be able to come up with those words. You know, and it was almost like in that moment of encouragement when I wrote them down, that person that I was that day that I wrote those things down spoke to me. Rather than that person that I felt like that day. And so it was almost like, hey, the person, you know, Lee from a few days ago when he wrote these things down was speaking to me now, going, hey, man, you can do it, you can do it, you can do it. And so we have to learn to encourage ourselves. It may sound strange when you talk out loud to yourself, right? Does anybody here talk out loud to themselves ever? Yes. All the time. Yes. Full-on conversations. You know, so there's something so powerful when we hear our words, when those words are out loud, and our ears are able to hear those words, okay? It has a powerful effect on you, and there's a reason why every day, I say out loud, I'm highly favored, I'm walking in righteousness, I'm empowered to prosper, I'm more than a conqueror, and I'm in training for reigning. Every day, I say those words out loud to myself. Every day, okay? And it's not because I always feel like those things. It's because when I speak what God says about me, right? When I speak what God says about me to myself, it raises my hope level and it shapes my future. It raises my hope level, okay? And so when we say what God says about us, it raises that hope level and we're able to walk into the future with hope instead of with fear, instead of with discouragement, okay? And so We have to understand that. So I remember I have a pastor friend of mine who's probably one of the best preachers I have ever heard. And I love his sermons. I love the way he articulates the Word of God, and it just is so good. But for a long time, he would struggle with insecurity whenever he would get to go up to preach. And so he, you know, the minutes where he was sitting in the front row or whatever, ready to go up and speak, he would start to get nervous, and he'd start to kind of wonder if anybody even cares, if his messages are even making a difference. And so he, every time before he would get up to speak, he would say to himself, "They like you. They like you." And you know what? In public speaking, they say public speaking is what, the number two fear in the world? Most people fear public speaking more than they fear dying. You know, they'd rather be the guy in the coffin than the guy giving the eulogy, you know? And so, like, it's just that, and you can, lots of insecurities come up when you're a public speaker. You go, "Oh, they don't like you. Nobody's listening. Oh, it's not making an impact. Oh, they're just, you know, whatever." And he would say, "They like you." And he was an amazing speaker. Everything changed for him, okay? You know, you put the flip side of that, you know, people who have just said things about themselves that just aren't true. You know, they might say stuff, "I'm too old," you know. Has anybody ever used that one? "I'm too old," you know. Never say you're too old. There's God has so much for you. It's not over till it's over, right? If you're 90 years old, God still has amazing things for you. He has a hope and a future. And saying "I'm too old" it's not true. It's not true. Look at Joshua. Look at Moses. Go back and read about those guys and the ages they were when they completely shook the world. Okay? So, you know, when you say things like that, it does not shape God's future for you. Okay? And so it doesn't matter how you feel about yourself. Just start speaking life to yourself. Right? I mean, words are just one of those things. Even when you don't feel it. You ever have people go, "Well, I don't want to fake it. I don't want to be fake." Fake it. Just fake it. It doesn't matter if you're discouraged. It doesn't matter if you feel like there's no hope. It doesn't matter if you're having a bad day. Speak life to yourself. Fake it, because those words will encourage you. Will encourage you, okay? So, the next thing is this. Speak life to others, okay? And because when we speak life to others, not only does it help shape their future to the future that God wants them to walk in, it helps to shape yours. That when we encourage others, it encourages ourselves. Proverbs 16:24 says, "Kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body." Right? You ever notice how the right word can actually give you energy? That the right word will actually make you feel more energetic? Like, you could go into a conversation just feeling tired, just feeling discouraged, and that person that you're speaking... That what is going on? Hudson's on sound today. But that, you know, the right words, you go into a conversation with somebody and they speak encouragement to you, and it's like you leave that conversation feeling energetic and feeling just on top of the world, like the sky is blue and all is good. You know, speak life to others. Most of us can easily recall a time when someone put us down or someone embarrassed us, right? I mean, I remember a time when I was in, almost 30 years ago. 30 years ago, and I remember it like it was yesterday. I remember I was in a rehearsal for a play that I was in, and the guy that I was rehearsing with, the rest of the cast is out there watching, and the guy that I was rehearsing with decided to take the line that he spoke next and turn it into a cut down on me. You know, and even though it was sort of he didn't mean it to be mean, but it was so embarrassing to me. And I remember I just stood there, my face turned red, and even some of the people like in the crowd that were watching were like, "Oh," you know. And it was just kind of one of those embarrassing moments where he decided to take a shot at me and make fun of me in that moment. And it just 30 years ago, I still remember it like it was yesterday. Words are so powerful. And I mean, I've even had times when people have come to me and I said something like just in jest, off the cuff, wasn't even thinking about it, just said it, was trying to be goofy or silly, whatever, walk on. And then weeks later, they come to me and say, "That really hurt. Oh, wow. You know, I'm so, so sorry. You know, I would hate for my words ever to tear somebody down." And so we need to speak life to each other. And we can, you know, we can also remember the kind words that were spoken to us, right? The encouraging words and the compliments that we've received. And we felt hopeful and we felt energized by those words, okay? And the incredible thing about speaking life to others is it brings life to us. When I encourage you, I'm encouraged. I feel better. In fact, encouraging others encourages you, and they've actually discovered this scientifically. This is science. I only believe in science. Just kidding. I'm Nacho Libre for you. All right. So they've even discovered science that because encouraging others, it takes the focus off you. It helps you to think more positively. They've discovered that when we encourage others, it helps us to think more positively. It helps us to think more creatively, right? It builds trust. It helps to shape better futures for ourselves and for others. The happiest people that I know, the absolute happiest people I know, are constantly speaking life to others. Constantly speaking life to others. So speak life to others. And the last thing is this, speak life into your future. Speak life into your future. Everyone, no matter how old or how young they are, should periodically write out a statement of what they want their future to look like. Just every once in a while. I know this sounds funny, you know, but there's immense power in this. Don't blow this off. Don't blow this off. I want you to write yourself a note right now. Write yourself a note. Put it on your calendar. Take an hour, take 2 hours, whatever. Next Saturday, instead of watching TV, instead of binge watching something or whatever, take an hour or so just to write out what you want your future to look like, right? Because hey, if you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time, right? Right? But if you pray and you ask God to show you what your future should look like and you write it down, there's just so much power in this. I actually do this. I have what's called a life plan that I have written out. And it's broken down into different categories of my life. How do I want my family life to look like in 5 years? How do I want, my career, leading the church to look like in 5 years? How do I want my financial life to look like in 5 years? My life with my children in 5 years, my personal ministry, doing missions and writing and things like that. How do I want that to look like in 5 years? And every week I just sit down and read it to myself out loud. And I write it in present tense. I write things like, my children are successful. They're growing in independence. My marriage is growing. I'm on the beach with my wife. One of these days, honey, we're going to get on the beach together, okay? And we're not talking about the beach down by our house, okay? So we're not talking about Lake Michigan. But it's so important that we write that. Do that. Do yourself a favor and write out a hopeful future for yourself and for your children so that you can read it back. And if you could talk to prison inmates, and they've done studies with prison inmates, if you could talk to prison inmates and you ask prison inmates how they got to where they are in life, many of them would tell you that they believed at a very young age that they weren't going to succeed in anything at life. They'll just tell you that. You know what? At a young age, I believed I wasn't going to succeed in anything. And this is why we do Royal Family Kids Camp. Because the kids that we have never been told, you have a hope, you have a future, you're awesome, God has amazing things for you. And so they've believed from a very young age that they weren't going to succeed at anything. And the people around them didn't speak life into their future, and they didn't speak life into their future. All right? So it's so important that we learn to speak life into our future. Their lives were shaped by words of despair. Their lives were shaped by harsh criticism. Their lives were shaped by negativity. Speak life into your future and tell yourself words of hope. Tell yourself words of joy and fulfillment every day. Every day. Read the words you wrote about what you want your future to look like in the present tense. Right? So you say, you know what? In the future, I'm healthy. I have more energy. In the future, I'm getting exercise 5 times a week. In the future, here's what you're going to do. Here's your assignment. I'm giving you an assignment. I'm giving you homework. You all right with that? Who said that? I will root you out. Okay. You're going to go in the boo box, those of you who have ever watched Hook. But you're going to say things in present tense. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to write it down. You're going to write, I am healthy and full of energy, right? You're going to say it in present tense. I am my target weight. I am healthy, I'm exercising. You're going to say, you're going to write, my marriage is strong. You're going to write, my kids are walking in righteousness. I never say my kids are happy. If your goal is for your kids to be happy, you're parenting wrong. Okay? I say my kids are righteous. Okay? My kids are righteous. My kids are hardworking. My kids are demonstrating the love of Christ to others. Okay? I am fulfilled in my career. Okay? I'm working the job that I want. I'm married to someone who's in love with Jesus, okay? And you're writing those things, so that's what you're going to do. So when you read back your life statement, when you read back your future statements, it's in present tense. I'm healthy. That's what I did when I wrote things down to write the book. I wrote, I'm an author. I didn't write, I will be an author. Because when we start putting God's future into some sort of by and by, future tense, sometime, somewhere, we never get there. Because when we get to tomorrow, then it's still out there in the future, in by and by land. And so we have to start speaking those things that aren't as if they were, right? And so we speak those things in present tense. And just we imagine. We say, God, help me to imagine. God, put your thoughts in my mind. Put your thoughts in my heart and help me to speak them out loud. All right? Does that sound good? Is everybody down with that assignment? I'm going to do something I don't normally do. How many here will commit to that assignment this week? Okay. Do not make me come over there, Tootsie Roll. Oh, okay. Just because you work harder every day than I ever have in the gym, I will not come over there. All right. So here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to break up. We're going to do little breakouts, okay? And you're going to break out into twos and threes, okay? Even Steve, you're going to break up into twos and threes. And so you're going to answer these questions. I've got 5 questions, so we're not going to spend a whole lot of time. So let me give you just a little bit of instruction here, okay? You're going to break up as in twos and threes. You are not going to ask each other how you're doing. Okay? You're not going to be like, how's it going? You're not going to be sharing prayer requests. You're going to be answering these 5 questions. First, you're going to ask, where am I now? Where is my life right now? And so you're just going to be honest. Well, my life right now, I'm a little unfulfilled in this, or I wish that my health was a little better, or I'm kind of unhappy at my job, or just wherever your frustrations are, where is your life right now? Maybe your life is amazing right now, okay? And that's okay. Share that. Where am I right now? And then you're going to ask, where do I want to go? Okay? So just imagine let's just say a year out from now. Let's not go too far out. 1 year. Where do I want to be in a year? How do I want my life to look like in a year? Then you're going to answer the questions, and you're going to do this fast. I know this is some big, deep information. We don't have a ton of time, but you're going to answer these fast, and you're going to answer them to each other, okay? And you're going to write them down. What steps do I need to take to get there? Some of the steps might be as simple as, you know what, I'm going to finally start getting to the gym. Or, you know what, I'm going to get online, and I'm going to look for job openings, things like that. Or, you know what, I'm going to dedicate one night a week to spending just playing board games with my kids. Or I'm going to, whatever it is, okay? So what steps do I need to get there? And then you're going to answer, what gets in my way? Most of you will probably say, me. I get in my way. We're our own worst enemies, let's just be honest. You know, we had a conversation this morning, just how we are. We all know what to do, and we choose not to do it. We're our own worst enemies. And then you're going to answer, who's in my corner? You know, God's in your corner, but there might be some other people in your corner. For a lot of you men, your wives would be happy to see you lose 10 pounds. They're in your corner. It's because they love you. They want you to be around, okay? Your wives don't want to be, running out to pick up insulin for you, you know, when you are both 75 years old, right? I'm just saying this, okay? We do not serve our families and our spouses well by allowing our bodies to go to pot. Okay? It's selfish of us to go, my family will take care of me when I'm 200 pounds overweight and I'm diabetic and my ankles don't work anymore and I'm going blind. Is it okay if I say that? All right? Wives, would you agree with that? Yes. Okay? That's why your wife is always like, no, you don't need to eat that. It's not because they're being mean. It's because they don't want to take care of you when you're 80 years old and you've eaten yourself into a crippled stupor. Okay? So I've gotten way off. So let's do this. Let's just strike that from the recording. And then what are you going to do? You're going to say a very quick prayer for each other. You're not taking prayer requests. You're not praying for your aunt who's not feeling good. You're not doing that. You're going to say a very quick prayer for each other that you are able to walk in God's future for you. Does that sound good? Is everybody down with that? Does anybody have any questions? Let's do it. Break up into twos and threes.